So I wanted to open today a little bit with talking about a particular distinction that I think is very helpful to make in this kind of work, which is the distinction between the relative aspects of our experience and the absolute aspects of our experience. So relative and absolute. So what does that mean? It means in terms of the quality of things we experience, things can be more or less desirable, more or less undesirable. Things can be very effective, sort of effective, complete failure, right? That's relative, right? There are qualities that are relative to each other. And in the spiritual work in Judaism called Musar, which I know some of you are familiar with, right? What is Musar about? Musar is about developing certain types of qualities that are beneficial qualities to have in our characters, right, in our personalities, and that we express. So, what are some examples of Musar qualities?
Generosity,
Right, generosity.
humility,
Yeah.
loving kindness,
Yeah.
trust.
Trust. What about discipline? Yeah. Or what about dependability, right? Not being flaky, like people know that if you say you're going to do something, you know. So there's lots of qualities like that, and people can be more or less those qualities, right? That's why they're called midot, because midot means, right, it means measures. It means like you can measure how much of that you have. You know, some person might be very, very dependable, but not completely. Like once you put them under a certain amount of stress, it starts to break down. You know, and then people have various levels of being able to cope, right, with that stress that's going to knock down whatever their natural level is. So with Musar and working on Midot, of course, we want to, it's a work, it's a process. It's like building muscles, lifting weights. You have a muscle that's this big, you exercise, it's this big, right? It's relative. It's all about relativity. So that's the relative aspect of our experience with regard to working on qualities, but it's really present in all aspects of our experience. There's relative, for example, this room is pretty nice for gathering for meditation, but it's not like amazingly nice. It's the library, it's kind of, you know. I could imagine like some sort of pristine, beautiful meditation room with candles and beautiful meditative, you know, art on the wall only, right? Everything is relative, right? So in our experience. However, the work of presence is complementary and different from Musar in the sense that presence is dealing with the absolute aspect of our experience, not the relative aspect of our experience, okay? What does that mean? It means that whatever is present is all the way present, or it's completely not present, right? There's no on or off. I mean, it is on or off. There's no measure. There's no midah to it. It either is or it isn't. Okay, so let's give an example of that. So, and of course, the relative and the absolute are always both present in everything. But right now, as you hear my voice talking, you're absolutely hearing it talking. You're not sort of hearing it talking. There's no relativity to it. It simply is. Similarly, any of the things that are relative, even though there's an aspect that's relative to them, if they exist, then their existence, in other words, their presence, their beingness, is absolute. It's either there or it's not there. Okay? Does that make sense? So there's always, every aspect of our experience always has this relative part and this absolute part. So in ordinary human psychology or ordinary human operation, we tend to live in the relative aspect of our experience, which is our thinking mind and our emotions. Thinking mind and emotions are all about the relative aspect of experience, whereas awareness is about the absolute aspect of experience. And I pointed out before, I've talked about and I'm not sure if everybody got it, but I just want to make sure, is that on the level of awareness, there is no preference. There is no judgment, and there is no degree of openness versus closedness, right? Awareness itself is by its nature always open. That's why the ear is a good symbol, or it can be a good symbol for awareness, because the ear is always open, right? Unlike our eyes that we can shut. I mean, our eyes we can shut, our ears we can't really shut. That's why they sell those headphone things that you can put on that cancel out noise. Very useful to be able to shut out the noise. In other words, you're completely a victim of whatever is happening, right? Same thing with our touch. Our touch is even more selective because we can perceive so much more than we're actually physically touching, right? So the awareness, the aspect of our being that is awareness, is by its nature always open. Okay, so why is that? So what? So why is that useful to understand about? Because our sense of self tends to be in the mind and in the heart, in our thinking and in our feeling. And so our experience of the world is always about the relative. Is it working? Is it not working? Is it pleasant? Is it not pleasant? And we need that, of course. That's to function. We absolutely need that. But in the practice of presence, your sense of self can move out of the relative functioning without in any way hampering the relative functioning. The mind is still working, there's still judgment, there's still preference and all that, but your sense of who you are, sense of me, can expand beyond that mind and emotion into the basis of your being, which is awareness. Behind your heart, behind your mind, is this openness, which is just perception. And on that level, there is a sense of hine. This is. And you'll notice that awareness, because it's completely open, doesn't have, it doesn't have any of the qualities that are problematic to the mind or heart. It doesn't have any stress. It doesn't have any worry. It doesn't have a thing that it's trying to solve or get to or improve upon. It's just awake. It's just open. It's just aware. So there's a hint of this in the name that Hashem gives to Moshe when Moshe says, "Who shall I say? Who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? Who are you? Who is it? Who's God?" You know, and Hashem says, "Ehyeh Esher Ehyeh. I will be what I will be, or I am that which I will be." In other words, this is, I am being, I am just existence. And therefore, you can't kind of put a relative label on it. It's just is existence. So that's the divine potential of our own nature, of our own being, that there's our human relative nature, and then there's our divine potential, meaning the aspect of our experience that is completely open and present with whatever is. So, does anybody have any comments or questions about that?
I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get. I understand the relative. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty comfortable with.
Yeah, of course.
But this other, I just don't get.
Right. And you can't really get it totally, because the getting, right, is with the intellectual mind, and that in itself is all about relativity. Now, the mind, in order to perceive anything and perceive the relative qualities, however, has to have perception, it has to have awareness. So the awareness is in the background, but we don't tend to identify with the awareness, we tend to identify with the mind. So the mind can't really get it so well. The way you get it is simply by practicing it. Right, so when we do the meditation, that's what we're practicing. We're practicing consciously, intentionally taking the attitude of being with what is, not judging it. I'm not trying to change it. I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm just trying to be with this experience as it is. And it falls. I'm being with my emotions. I'm being with my thoughts. I'm being with my perceptions. And just through the practice of that, that's how you'll come to get it, through experientially, not intellectually. Although the intellectual will come when you come, the more you experience it, the more you feel that, okay, I actually can just be with things as they are, right? And then you say, no, but I'm upset about such and such, right? And then you say, oh, but I can be with that upsetness, right? So it's not about trying to change or not be upset. It's about realizing that there's a deeper level to your being that can feel your emotions, can experience whatever's happening, and it's simply being with it. It's already doing it. Your awareness is already being with everything. You have no control over it. You can't not be with everything. Because you, as long as you're here and you're alive, you're here with everything. The question is, who are you? Who are the you that's being with things? Are you the mind that's judging? Or are you aware of the mind that's judging? And then the mind sometimes is judging and sometimes it stops, right? Things come and go. In the relative world, things are always coming and going. But in the absolute sense of your awareness, there's just being with all the coming and going, right? So your awareness is doing that anyway. And when we chant, we're simply putting our awareness into the body, being with the vibration of the chant, allowing whatever the quality is of the words that are expressed in there to just simply be and plant its seeds within us.
I find there's a real difference for me when we chant without words, as we did a little while ago, just with sound.
Yeah.
Versus chanting with words.
Yes.
My mind gets distracted by the words.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I try to like keep up and remember what's the next word, or do I have this word right? And I find this kind of making a sound much deeper for me, as letting go of my mind.
Yes. Yeah, and there's many Hasidic teachings about that, that talks about what's the importance of the nigun, is that it doesn't have any words.
Right.
It's not saying, of course, that words are therefore bad or unimportant, because the words actually relate more to the relative world. They relate to the midot.
Right.
And the simply the sound is more conducive to presence, because it allows your mind to have a break and just relax.
Right.
So it is more conducive to...
I mean, for me, since I was a little girl playing with my father's talis during services, when we would get to the Eitz Chaim Hi, Machazikim Ba, I had a visceral response to the melody. And when I understood the meaning of the words, it had less resonance for me than the melody. And to this day, when I sing that, tears come to my eyes. It moves my heart. And so I think my tendency is to go more towards sound and the sensory. So
And that's more kind of on the presence practice end of the spectrum. Because when you connect your awareness with sensory experience, it's not being bound up in the world of the mind, where it normally gets kind of wrapped up. That's where our mind gets wrapped up, and that's where identification happens, meaning the creation of a sense of me that's based on ideas, based on thoughts.
So it's me remembering the words of that in the chant.
Yeah.
There's a me energy in it.
Yeah.
And the other way, it's not. I'm transcending the me. Because it's a vibration.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. It reminds me of many years ago, there was a person who worked at the shul that I was leading services at with music, and he was not Jewish, and he but during the service he set up for it. He worked there, but during the service he sat over in the corner. I would see him and he'd just be singing the words, crying out. And that one time I went up to him and after, and I said, oh, I saw you were like really davening those words. And And one particular chant, I said, yeah, I saw you really singing that chant. And then I started to say, you know those words, they mean, and he said, no, don't tell me what they mean.
Exactly.
It's very interesting. So,
yeah.
And different, it's important to know that different personality types also incline towards different angles to presence. For some, thinking in the mind is something that feels really good. And so that's, there's nothing wrong with using that as an angle to cultivate presence. And the midot and qualities are all a super important part of the whole practice. But they work together, because the more that you can be in the space of presence, then the more loosened up your mind and emotions are. They're not, they get, the more we identify with them, the more they get stuck. You know, I am this, I feel this way, my opinion is this. And we repeat these stories to ourselves in our mind. And that kind of creates a it lessens your potential for the natural blossoming of different midot. Sometimes you don't have to work on a midah, right? It just blossoms. And you may have been in a situation for a long time where it didn't blossom because you're just engaged in certain relationships that make you feel stuck in a certain, with a certain responses. That's why people love to go hiking in the mountains or something. Go out there and out of your normal life, out of your normal situation. You know, the image of Moses going on the top of the mountain, it's a great image, because that's how we work. If we get out of the city and out of our, you know, from our desk and pile of things, we have to do whatever, and we're up and up there, then it breaks up the conditioned responses and identifications in our mind. New things can blossom. But really, you can do that wherever you are if you know how to practice presence. So that's what we're doing. So I was going to do something now with words, but now I'm reluctant to.
See how others
I like the words.
About it.
You
like
words.
The words.
I find struggling to follow the melody.
Yeah.
I draw notes and stuff in my head, and it's like, because I'm not a professional singer in any stretch. And I found in the last 2 or 3 weeks here, when you come back a second time with the words, I find it much easier to be along with it.
Mm.
Interesting.
Nice.
And again, I'm thoroughly mind-centric, so.
Huh.
Okay.
How about you,
Arnie? I could go either way. I haven't sorted this out yet. The vibration is what I'm sensing. I mean, that maybe that's more with the melody without words, although there is some vibration with words, but it's deeper without it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been into the melodies, but now I'm finding that I'm trying to learn the words a little bit more, and when the melody and the words fit together better.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, part of another reason why I do the words in general with these is because these are pieces of tefillot that come up in the space of traditional practices, so it's an opportunity to kind of dig deeper into them. So that, and that becomes also useful if you're coming to a regular service and these words come up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about we compromise? I'll do less words than I was going to do, but we'll do some words. And actually, the words that I was going to do today, again, come from Ashrei. Ashrei is such a wonderful, has all these little great phrases. This one is emphasized it traditionally because there's a body motion that goes with it, which is poteach et yadecha, you open your hands, umaspia lecho charatzon. Usually I see it translated, you satisfy the desire of Kol Chai, of all life. Umaspia has the connotation of transmission, right, of a flow that's coming. So the image here is that it's becoming aware of the flow of blessing that's coming to us. So that flow of blessing is already coming to us. It's not a prayer like, please give me more blessing. It's becoming aware of the blessing that's always there, so that we can kind of relax and appreciate and be grateful. It's like again, this is part of the relative world, is that we become used to whatever's going on. You know, if we feel good physically, you get used to that, and then you're not really appreciating that, and then something happens that messes us up physically, and then that's very upsetting. And then if we get better, then we're very happy that we're better. But we could have been happy before, right? So a lot of this is about, it's about gratitude and about sensitivity to the blessing. And just being alive itself, of course, is like, is a flow. It's a flow of energy that's constantly enlivening us. So poteach et yadecha is... It's a metaphor. God is like opening God's hand, and this blessing is flowing forth. But why don't we just use, to compromise, why don't we just use the one word, poteach, okay? It's a little bit of an awkward word, poteach, but you can, it can still sound nice. Poteach means open. And so the thought, and it's a, it is a thought, but it's a simple thought, is just to keep your mind in the intention of gratitude for that which is flowing to us, and we're open to it, and it is open to flowing to us. What's flowing to us? Our life energy, our breath. Breath is flowing. While you're singing, you might become aware of feelings that you have, emotional feelings. So those are moving, those are flowing. We're aware of our blood that's constantly flowing, right? So all of life is actually dependent on openness and flow. So poteach, we could sing like this. If you want to open your hands, so it's coming from the words, you open your hands. So having the open hands helps to get that inner shape of openness as well.
I'm just thinking, et yadecha would be nice with that.
Oh, good. All right. You're open to it. You're open to the
I'm
et yadecha.
Totally open to it, because okay. I'm singing it in my head.
Good. Good. Did you hear the chant already this week?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It's just that it feels like a complete phrase that way.
Beautiful. So this is how it goes on the recording, too, when if you when you get a chance to listen to it, the video. It goes like this. Call high. song, last word. That song. Also your left hand to your belly. Letting your awareness flow down into your hips, down your thighs and knees and calves, down into your feet and toes. And feeling up into your chest and your heart and your shoulders, flowing down your arms, into your hands and fingers, and shining upward into your face and your skull. And bringing a little smile to your lips to express poteach et edecha in your face. So that your whole physical form is a temple of your presence. Your awareness is resting in your body, resting on the flow of your breathing. And we'll chant Na'ase, breathing in. Of awareness, which is not separate from the space of everything within your experience, the space around you, the space within you, within your body, and also beyond your body. Vinishma, breathing in. Relaxing your hands. Rest your mind in the chant. Letting your awareness also rest in the flow of your breathing. And we'll sit together for about 18 minutes.